During some animal health emergencies, animals may be exposed to toxic materials in the environment. Efforts to decontaminate animals may be necessary to prevent adverse health effects. This just-in-time training presentation will discuss animal decontamination procedures and considerations in the event of a chemical event or a natural disaster. The exposure of animals to toxic contaminants present in the environment can occur during emergency situations, following natural disasters such as floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, or earthquakes. Animals may be exposed to a variety of household or agricultural chemicals, petroleum products, heavy metals such as lead, or harmful pathogens from disrupted manure pits or septic tanks. Situations involving agricultural or industrial accidents may result in exposures to chemical spills or gas leaks. Terrorism or criminal events may involve chemical toxins or microbial pathogens that can cause subsequent harm. Decontamination efforts for exposed animals may be needed for any of these situations. Decontamination involves the process of neutralizing and removing harmful materials that animals or people have been exposed to during or after a chemical or natural disaster situation. Primary goals for decontamination are to confine the hazardous substances to a specified area and limit exposure time for animals and people to reduce absorption, tissue damage, or systemic poisoning. It also serves to minimize the further spread and distribution of contaminants through the movement of animals or people. This slide shows the wide variety of potential contaminants that may be present following a particular animal health emergency. Hazardous substances may be in the form of solids, liquids, particulates, or gases. Many are also flammable, reactive with water, or toxic. It is very important to know the specific toxicant or contaminant involved. This will not only determine the level of risk and specific decontamination measures needed, but also any short-term or long-term impacts that may weigh on the decontamination decision. Additionally, food animal exposure to certain chemicals, such as organochlorine or heavy metals or radioactive substances, raises concerns regarding the risk of residue in the animal byproducts, such as meat, milk, or eggs, that may prevent affected animals from entering the human food chain. The loss of economic value of these animals may cause the owner to choose euthanasia over decontamination. Animals can be exposed to contaminants in a number of ways. Most exposures will involve direct contact with the material and subsequent absorption through the skin or mucous membranes. The hair coat of animals may be somewhat protective, but can be more difficult to decontaminate. Non-haired portions of the skin, such as the foot pads or the nose or any damaged or inflamed skin present, are at a higher risk of absorbing a contaminating agent. Animals can also ingest toxic substances by eating contaminated food sources, drinking contaminated water, licking contaminated surfaces, or from grooming or licking their own bodies. Gas, vapor, or aerosol contaminants can also be inhaled, resulting in exposure and absorption by the respiratory tract. This route is the most likely to cause severe intoxication. Fumes, dust, particulates, or splash liquids can enter the animal's eyes, causing pain, irritation, and possibly irreversible damage. Indirect exposures or cross-contamination can occur when hazardous substances on the feet, skin, or hair coat contaminate objects, people, or other animals with which they come in contact. A wide variety of animal species may require decontamination, including companion animal species such as dogs, cats, rabbits, or pet birds, service animals, livestock such as cattle, sheep, goats, horses, and poultry. Working dogs are at high risk of becoming contaminated during the course of their duties. Captive or concentrated animal populations can also be affected by animal health emergencies. These include settings such as biomedical research facilities, zoos, sanctuaries, wildlife parks, commercial breeding operations, pet retailers, kennels, and stables. Any number of wildlife species in the area may also be exposed. Many of these animals will have a high emotional, financial, or cultural value. Animals exposed to contaminants can be affected in the same manner as humans. Contaminants may cause immediate or acute damage to the skin, respiratory tract, eyes, or the entire body. Depending on the exposure and contamination levels, animals may have skin irritation and redness, chemical burns and hair loss, or respiratory distress, systemic shock, or even death are also possible. Some contaminants may cause long-term or delayed damage. Contaminants can also be carcinogenic. The decision to decontaminate animals is driven by several considerations. Decontamination efforts should only be performed when it is possible to minimize the risk of injury for both the affected animals and responders performing the decontamination procedures. During decontamination procedures, human safety is always a primary goal and the most important consideration, followed by the welfare of affected animals. Decontamination procedures will require a number of personnel to perform the task. In some situations, trained handlers may be needed to escort the animals through the decontamination stations. The availability of adequate veterinary resources for triage, stabilization, decontamination, and supportive care will also be an important consideration. Decontamination decisions will also be driven by the known or suspected agents involved. If a highly toxic chemical or zoonotic disease is involved, the risk to human health may be too great to proceed with an animal decontamination operation. Additionally, situations involving a large number of animals may place time constraints in treating all animals before health impacts occur. Environmental concerns need to also be taken into consideration. Extremely large volumes of contaminated wastewater will be generated when washing and rinsing animals. Appropriate drainage is needed to prevent further exposure of animals by drinking or prolonged contact with contaminated wastewater. The containment and proper disposal of the wastewater, as well as any contaminated objects such as collars, leashes, halters, hair, or feces, following decontamination procedures will need to be addressed to avoid any environmental issues. Any legal or jurisdictional issues should be understood. Consult with environmental officials before decontamination procedures begin and after completed. Weather conditions are also an important consideration. Dry, windy conditions may further aerosolize particles, dust, or chemicals. Prevent overheating in hot conditions by providing protection against the sun. Rainy conditions can pool and concentrate contaminants. Cold conditions will require measures to prevent hypothermia. Decontamination procedures needed for animals is determined on a case-by-case basis. Alterations may be necessary based on the contaminant involved and available resources. Effective planning and preparation is needed for the smooth operation of any animal decontamination procedure. As with any hazardous situation, the establishment of site control zones is essential. Control zones aid in preventing unauthorized access to the hazard, containing the contaminant or agent, and providing functional boundaries for responders. Site control zones should be immediately designated and enforced at the start of the response. Traditionally, three control zones are created at a hazardous site: the hot zone, the warm zone, and the cold zone. The hot zone is the area where the actual hazard is located. The warm zone is located between the hot and cold zones. It is the area where animals or people will be brought for decontamination. The warm zone will consist of three stations, which will be described on subsequent slides. The cold zone is the area free of any contamination. All zones should be clearly demarcated. The entry and exit to the zones should be well monitored to prevent tracking of contaminants. Natural obstacles or man-made barriers may be used, as well as temporary materials such as snow fences or barrier tape. Animal decontamination sites should be located at a safe and reasonable distance from the incident, yet close enough to allow easy access from the hot zone. The area should be located upwind and uphill from the hot zone. Decontamination setups should be on a reasonably flat and level ground. Ensure sufficient size for the safe handling of the animals. The decontamination site will require a clean, potable water supply of sufficient quantity, as well as a means for containing runoff generated during the decontamination procedure. If the stations are set up indoors, adequate ventilation and airflow will be necessary. The decontamination procedure involves leading contaminated animals through a series of sequential stages to dilute and remove contaminants or toxins. When decontamination procedures are needed, owners may be reluctant to part with their animals. Running animal decontamination stations parallel to human decontamination stations can help to alleviate owner anxiety. Service animals should not be separated from their owner due to the severe distress caused by an already stressful situation. As previously mentioned, the warm zone is the area where animals or people are brought for decontamination. As animals enter Station 1 of the warm zone, they should be assessed for any emergency health issues such as injury, dehydration, or shock. For animals requiring medical stabilization or life-saving intervention, full decontamination may need to be delayed and a preliminary rinse may be all that is possible initially until the animal can be stabilized. Thorough decontamination measures will be needed following triage treatment. Euthanasia should be considered for animals too severely affected to withstand the stress of decontamination. Animals that are stable should proceed through the warm zone stations and the decontamination process. Photograph the animals with its current identification. Gather and record any animal and owner information, including the location found. This information can help to reunite the animal with its owner and may provide information on the type and level of contaminant exposure. Remove and discard any contaminated objects such as leashes, collars, or halters on the animal. These items may trap contaminants against skin or the hair coat of the animal. Place a clean restraining device such as a nylon lead on the animal to lead them through the decontamination stations. A preliminary rinse or gross contamination should be done. Flushing or flooding contaminated skin with water can remove or dilute many toxic agents. It also allows the washing stages to be much more effective. However, be aware that some contaminants may be reactive and more dangerous when mixed with water. The possible contaminants you are dealing with should always be identified before any decontamination procedure. For toxicants or contaminants that are reactive with water, physical removal by brushing or combing may be possible. However, knowledge of the contaminant is necessary as these actions can further aerosolize and increase inhalation exposure for responders. Additionally, some dusts or powders may clump when wet, making them more difficult to remove. The use of vacuums may be possible for animals that will tolerate it, or wiping with dry or slightly damp towels may be helpful. Station 2 involves washing and rinsing the animal to remove organic matter and contaminants. Before washing, flush the animal's eyes with saline solution to remove any dust or debris and dilute any chemical contaminants. Eye ointments should not be used until there is confirmation there is no contamination or ocular damage, such as corneal ulcers. Petroleum-based ointments can absorb chemical agents and worsen the damage. It is most helpful to have two areas available, one for the washing process, the other for rinsing. Wash basins, kiddie swimming pools, or shower areas can be used based on the size of the animal and may be helpful with wastewater containment. Animals should be led into wash basins or the shower areas of appropriate size for the animal. It is best to have at least two personnel, one handler and one washer. Be sure non-slip surfaces are provided to ensure secure footing for the animals. Rubber mats or indoor-outdoor carpeting can be placed over grates to protect toes, nails, or hooves from getting caught and to prevent slipping. Wash the animal using a mild liquid detergent such as Dawn or Palmolive. Household dish soaps can help remove oils in which some toxins may be dissolved. These products are also readily available, economical, and minimally irritating or drying. Use low-pressure, lukewarm water when possible. Gently scrub the detergent solution into the hair of the animal with a soft bristle brush or gloved fingers. Avoid harsh or abrasive scrubbing, as this may drive material deeper into tissues. Pay special attention to skin folds and creases, as well as the feet or hooves of large animals, where contaminants may become trapped. Clean areas of the head, especially around the eyes, nose, and mouth, with non-alcoholic moist towelettes, such as baby wipes or gauze pads. Thick, bulky, or sticky substances may require additional effort, such as mechanic soap, mineral oil, or scraping with a wooden stick such as a tongue depressor or popsicle stick to remove the material by physical means. Long or matted hair may need to be shaved or trimmed. After washing, lead the animal to the rinse basin or shower. Rinse the animal thoroughly with clean water to remove all residue and detergent. Repeat the wash-rinse process as necessary, 3 times for maximum benefit. For companion animals, a tarp may be laid on the ground between the wash and rinse basins to catch water dripping from the animal when transferring between the two locations. Larger animals may be startled and reluctant to walk over tarps. Larger animals, especially those generally kept outdoors, may also be hesitant to enter doorways, low roof structures such as tents, or enclosed areas. Properly discard dirty water from the wash and rinse bins before the next animal arrives. Depending on the temperament of the animal, muzzles or restraint measures may be needed. For larger species, such as livestock, the animal may need to be placed in a headgate or chute. Chemical sedation may be needed to calm nervous or aggressive animals and to reduce the risk of injury. However, this method should only be used on a limited basis and should not be used with severely injured or debilitated animals. The third station of the decontamination procedure is for an antimicrobial washing of the animal to kill any microbial contaminants remaining after the initial wash. The setup is similar to station 2, with two bins or showers, one for washing and one for rinsing. The difference is that an antimicrobial solution is used in place of the detergent. As with station 2, the size of the basins or showers should be able to accommodate the animal, and a minimum of two personnel, one for handling the animal and one for washing, should be available. Antimicrobial products can be deactivated by organic material, thereby making the initial wash-rinse step at station 2 very important. Additionally, it is important to allow the antimicrobial solution to remain for the recommended contact time to adequately kill the microorganisms. Rinse thoroughly. Repeat the process if necessary. Once the animal has been decontaminated and rinsed, it is carefully re-examined for any residual contaminants, and if found, must be returned for additional contamination. If decontamination was successful and the animal passes visual inspection, it should be transferred to a handler in the cold zone to be dried. Animals need to be dried well to avoid thermal regulatory issues. In cold temperatures, a warm dryer should be used to avoid hypothermia. The animal is then taken to the triage room for assessment and examination for injuries or health issues by the veterinary care team. Animals can then be moved to safe housing. They should be protected from excessive winds or drafts, especially in cold weather. They should be monitored for any changes in health status, including signs of hypothermia or hyperthermia. Ill animals may require veterinary care and support. Responders assisting with animal decontamination procedures should have appropriate hazardous materials training. Consulting and collaborating with trained hazmat personnel, such as local hazardous materials response teams or fire departments, can also be helpful. Personnel at all stations should have appropriate PPE for the level of hazard. This should include eye protection, gloves, and Tyvek or waterproof suits and coveralls. In some cases, respirators may be needed. These items work to create a barrier against the hazardous contaminant and the responder. Responders knowledgeable about proper animal handling and restraint should be used. Animal owners should not decontaminate their own animals. Exceptions are made for working dogs, as these animals are sometimes not safely separated from their handlers. Additionally, search and rescue and other detection dog handlers may also be hazmat trained. There are several safety issues responders need to remain aware of during the decontamination procedure. Any interaction with animals can lead to injury, including bites, scratches, kicks, or crushing incidents. Implement proper restraint and handling procedures for the animals when necessary to avoid a hazardous situation. Animals should also be handled to prevent contamination of emergency personnel. Limit direct contact and prolonged exposure to contaminants to minimize potential for health impacts. Slips, trips, and falls may occur when uneven or wet surfaces are present. Musculoskeletal injuries may occur following heavy, frequent, or awkward lifting procedures. If a zoonotic disease, a pathogen of animals transmissible to humans, is involved, there can also be a potential threat to you and other responders. Personal protective equipment can also limit your range of motion and vision, predisposing to falls as well as loss of agility and dexterity. Additional information on animal decontamination setup and procedures can be found in these resources. Several textbook chapters on animal decontamination are also available. Information provided in this presentation was developed by the Center for Food Security and Public Health at Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine through funding from the Multi-State Partnership for Security in Agriculture.